everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of The Noisecast, a show about geekery, technology, cars, sci-fi stories, whatever. Anything geek-related we talk about. Visit us on the web at thenoisecast.com and tweet at us at twitter.com/noisecast. On tonight's episode, we got, by the way, happy Father's Day to Kevlar Menace.
Thank you.
And happy Father's Day to Vito number 9.
Hooray, fathers.
And of course, happy Father's Day to all these sexy fathers that are out there and are going to be listening to our show. And last but not least, we have Gonzo Rider.
Woo!
Who's not a father yet, or at least doesn't know he is.
Well, that could be.
All right. It's been a long week for everybody, hasn't it? I mean, Vito's been out driving cars. Kevlar's been doing his thing. Gonzo's been dying, sort of.
that must have been weird.
Well, it was funny because we were testing out this video chat thing, sort of like Tiny Chat, the other night, for those who don't know. And it was me, Agrippa, and Snoop Dizzle, and Gonzo. And Gonzo was just drunk off his ass. Like, I think he had way too much to drink the other night.
I had a half liter of whiskey.
And he signs off. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed. And he signs off, but his face is sort of frozen on camera, even though he signed off. So we have this really genuine laughter from Gonzo. And we're sitting there staring at it for like 2 hours, waiting for it to go away.
Yeah, apparently I didn't close the tab, I guess, when I just passed out. I just kind of quit broadcasting. I guess it just hung out there.
So we joked that it was going to be the last image we've ever had of Gonzo in case he died from alcohol poisoning.
Hey, it's going to take more than a half liter of whiskey to knock me out.
Special thank you to everybody who's listening and interacting in the Ustream as well. Of course, every Sunday night at 8 Eastern, we start this broadcast. So you guys know what's up. Hit us up on the website. Talk to us. We will interact with you live on this. So starting off tonight, we have, I guess, the big story of the week is the whole LulzSec hacking's going out of control. The next big company to get hacked, sort of lost track, has been Sega. They've had a lot of users get their information sort of compromised. Luckily, no credit card stuff, just pretty much logins and emails. But LulzSec, I think they said they don't know. It wasn't them, but it's hard to tell these days who's doing what anymore.
But they did say they'd be willing to go after whoever did it, because they love the Dreamcast. Not the system that I would put my faith in, but...
Yeah. And plus, I don't think the Dreamcast had a login system.
So, the whole LulzSec security thing, the LulzSec, they're doing it for the Lulz, I guess. Are we good with this, or is this a good thing for them to continue on their crusade? Has it gotten stale?
What's their fucking crusade?
No, it stopped being a crusade when they just started randomly attacking folks because they could. I mean, they've probably got so much stuff. Like, just everyone, like, you know, probably the top, 100, 200 Alexa sites, they probably have those, like, a lot of the admin passwords. Those are saved somewhere. They just don't tell you. And then they, until they want to bring attention upon themselves.
I mean, I get that they're going out and being like, hey, look how corrupt these companies are by not protecting your information. That's not a fucking crusade. You could just write them a letter. I mean, look at... Sony's been hacked, like, what, a bajillion million times by this point?
Yep, and people are still giving them money.
Well, as Agrippa says, it's not a crusade, it's for the lulz they're doing it, but what exactly does that entail? I mean... Okay, lulls are lulls, but how many times can you lulls before lulls becomes just anti-lulls?
Like, it's not funny anymore.
Dr. Seuss. The hell is that?
You wanted to see how many times you could say lulls before someone stopped him.
Well, I mean, where is the line? I mean, is it? That's what I'm saying. Is it, has this gone stale? Is it, are we going to be seeing... people just start getting annoyed and pissed off and telling these guys, you know what, go fuck yourself, it's not funny anymore.
Maybe. Eventually, yeah, sure. I mean, it's going to happen. But I don't think that they... I don't know. They still kind of have the support of the little man, of course.
There was an article I read a little bit earlier on TechCrunch where he kind of... The author of the article was Aaron Crayford. He used to be one of those guys, like back in the day on a Wednesday, I think.
Back in the day on a Wednesday.
He was one of those guys that would hack into shitty security systems, but they were partially doing it just for the lulls, I guess. But they were also going in and patching up holes and fixing things. They were like, hey, here's your problem. I'm going to go ahead and fix it for you since your people seem to be too fucking retarded to do it. But he's looking at it and he's saying, look, you guys aren't really hurting the big guy. The guy sitting up at the top of the hill in his big mansion, he doesn't care. The people that you're hurting with this aren't even the users. You're fucking over the employees, the bottom 10%, the ones that they lay off and they don't even care about. Because when they start losing money, they just start cutting people off. And they don't care. It doesn't bother the corporations at all. They're too far up the ladder to get trimmed.
No, but it does hurt the users when they DDoS things and knock them down.
Yeah, but the users are going to keep playing. They're going to complain about their single-player campaign, but they're going to keep doing it. It hurts them a little bit, but not directly. It doesn't actually impact their lives in any significant way. And if losing your video game time is something that impacts your life in a significant way, you need to fucking...
ForeverAlone.jpg.
And get out a little more.
Okay, but then who does this affect? I mean, the whole point of this, I mean, it's right, lulls, but there has to be some sort of something to make it funny, right?
I mean, well, yeah, the people in the Sony thing that got hacked, it affected them because their credit card information is probably out on the internet for sale.
Okay, yeah, but that affected the gamers, though. It didn't affect Sony itself.
It's done some terrible, terrible PR stuff for them.
But that doesn't matter. Sony's always had terrible PR. Look at their history. We've been over this before. Look at the shit that Sony has come out with previously, and they never should have made it through. And they still somehow managed to stay afloat. And they managed to keep doing well. No matter how much bullshit they come out with, no matter how much shit they try to shovel, they still manage to come out on top. Or at least close enough to the top to keep breathing.
Well, it turns out that there are some people who are not too fond of LulzSec and what it's doing. And there's a new sort of blog out there that's aimed to expose who is behind LulzSec called LulzSec Exposed. And it's a blog spot. And I think today, or June 19th, yeah, today, they published a picture of and the pseudonym of who supposedly is the leader of LulzSec. They say that they do have his name, address, and location. They're just not publishing. They also have information on other people who are known. I mean, we even wrote about one of them called Kayla, supposedly like a 14-year-old girl, but they're saying it's actually some dude from Canada.
Not surprised. I mean, whether or not that's true or not, I'm not surprised it's not actually a 14-year-old girl.
But
everyone wants to be a 14-year-old girl on the internet.
They have posted a lot of information about who each person that is involved is and their potential locations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are they gonna do with it? Just say, oh yeah, we got this.
Well, the biggest concern is that for everyone else who likes to dick around on the internet with some form of, you know, being anonymous, I cannot properly pronounce the form of that word. Anonymous. Yeah, that one.
Anonymous is how you pronounce it.
Yeah. They're worried that it's going to be all sorts of stupid legislation that's going to come down and real IDs and all this other stuff. That's why they're like, just stop the bullcrap. Obviously, It's like banning weapons. If you, you know, if you get rid of weapons, then the people who want guns are still going to have guns, and people who want them for self-protection are, you know, they're not going to be able to get them, sort of thing. But
yeah, okay.
So, but the thing is, you're telling them to stop because you don't want any legislation to come forward, right? But yeah. you're also telling them to stop so you can continue what you're doing.
So no, just so you can continue to be online and not have to use your real name. It, like, no matter what you do. Like, the people dicking around, making stupid decisions, tends to cause mass punishment.
Yeah.
One bad apple spoiling the bunch.
Indeed.
Well, I guess this sort of leads into Google's new Me on the Web tool that helps you keep track of your online reputation. What Google is doing is it's letting you sort of make your public Google profile, link your Facebook and link stuff on that, and set up alerts for your name that pop up on the internet. But before you can use this tool, you got to give Google your information, obviously. So it's sort of like a catch-22.
But, yeah, and I mean, I'm not really sure, once stuff comes up and you're like, ooh, that's bad, like, is there something you can do about it?
Well, I think this is more of an education tool to let, I'm sort of on the pro side for this Me on the Web thing, because even though it seems like you're just giving Google your information, then it's going to publicly post on your profile, you know, whatever your name pops up in that. But at the same point, I think it's a good way to educate people who aren't that savvy, who don't Google their name on a regular basis and stuff, to realize, well, there's stuff I could do to prevent my name from popping up, and I shouldn't be doing certain things.
No, I totally agree. I think it's a fantastic educational tool, but I think there needs to be something out there where it's like, maybe to help you when you find stuff that's like, oh shit, or even stuff that's wrongfully associated with your name. Like, that shit happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be stuff that's considered slanderous or, you know, libel and stuff, but that's the beauty of the internet, is that you can write whatever you want. That, you know, you can write a post that says, fuck you, Motorola, and Motorola can't come take it down.
Hey-o.
Even if the author needs medicine.
The author needs psychological help, yes, and he's a 9-year-old.
A 9-year-old angry old man that needs professional help.
You, and some Prozac.
A Prozac.
I got you there.
I got a Prozac for you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing for people who kind of, I guess, are naive on the internet. Which there are a lot.
Which is most of the internet.
all the 14-year-old girls on the internet.
A lot of times I forget that most of the people on the internet probably should be on AOL.
Yeah.
Still using keywords.
Yep.
Keywords some should even be locked down. Like, AOL used to have the kids-only internet.
Yep.
They only had like 5 websites and a bunch of Flash games.
It's like the DisneyChannel.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom. Then they had the kids chat rooms, and that, we all know where that ended up.
That was a terrible idea to begin with.
Familywatchdog.us.
Guys, remember Yahooligans?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I do remember Yahooligans.
Like, any search you would do was a very kid-friendly search.
Oh, yeah.
See, I knew what it was, but I was already too old at that point to bother with it.
There were some great tools back then. Like, was it Cyber Nanny or something like that? Net Nanny?
Yeah, I do remember Cyber Nanny. The thing that would... It was basically...
That sounds like a terrible porno website. Cyber Nanny.
So Google's making this thing to sort of typeity typeity type whoever's typeity typing.
Really?
Yes, really.
No, I'm saying really to the keyboard killer over there.
Damn it, Kevlar. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to live tweet this so I don't get written up.
Push to talk, man. or, you know, don't type so violently.
Hey, to lay in that keyboard.
This is serious business. So, I really don't want to get written up.
You never signed those write-ups, by the way.
I did. I wrote right on my screen.
He's got crayon all over his monitor to prove it.
So Google's making a Google Me on the web where it's trying to, you know, put all your stuff all in one place. The same thing sort of Facebook is trying to do. So obviously that's going to be a battleground eventually, whether it's going to be Facebook or Google. And at the same point now, you got Twitter with the whole iOS integration. Seems like there isn't a concrete person that's going to be in charge of all your personal information. It's all going to be spread out anyway.
No, that person is you. That's what this boils down to. Track your own information. Don't let other people track it for you.
Yeah, but people are lazy and they want to outsource whatever they fucking can.
Well, then they deserve to get, you know, personalized Viagra.
You're not allowed to claim that, though. Nowhere are you allowed to say, well, hey, that's your fault. It's always somebody else's fault.
No, it's your fault.
It really is your fault, but no one ever wants to accept that it's your fault.
So whose fault is it really then?
Well, it's really your fault.
You just confused. That's what you said originally.
No, I know, but you can't like, in the real world, you always blame someone else. You never have to take responsibility. And it works.
So I hate the real world.
So if you pull on the carpet, you can blame it on the dog?
Yeah.
Gonzo lives by himself. That probably doesn't work.
I know somebody else.
And by the way, that wasn't me typing. That was the dog.
Yeah, okay.
Was the dog shitting on your keyboard?
Yep.
Dog was like rubbing his ass on his keyboard. Scooting across.
You gotta get some kitten mittens for that thing.
Yeah, kitten mittens.
That GIF, whatever the hell you guys call it.
Okay, GIF. I'm laying down the law. It's GIF.
Okay, that GIF is probably GIF. One of the ones I can watch over and over. One of like the three.
I bet the other one, the one where the lady's getting a golf ball shot in her ass.
Oh, no.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, yes, you do.
GIFs. The creator of the GIF.
GIF is a peanut butter.
Yes, that's a George Washington Carver, I believe. He's the peanut man.
What?
Whatever. You know what? Let's just move on. This is going nowhere fast.
Sorry, I'm introducing American history to the
next topic.
American, okay. So we're seeing the very first casualty of the whole iPad, whatever, subscription store, the magazine subscription store, where they pretty much publish their magazines on their things and take a 30% cut. The very first casualty of that has been the New York Post, as now it's cutting off all mobile Safari users. So if you're on an iPhone or an iPad and you try to access their website, you get a little notice that says, no, you got to download this app and subscribe.
Didn't say the magic word.
Okay. But you no longer can access the New York Post from your iPad or your iPod or your iPhone. Instead, they're forcing you to go and download the app and pay for the subscription.
No, what they're forcing you to do is go change news sources.
They're forcing you
reader. Place, yeah, they're the only place in the world where you can get news, New York Post.
Yeah, but I can see this whole concept as a way to push subscriptions online as kind of everyone's going to fall in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I don't get my news from there anyway. Granted, I don't give a shit about stock news, but...
Well, it's the New York Post.
Yeah. My big thing with that is it's to work better when you use an app to read news on any site, because it's always formatted better than it would be on your phone. Sites suck, and the full site is no fun to look at on a mobile phone, because you're constantly either squinting or, you know, sliding the screen around.
And yeah.
So, apps are good, and they should recommend it, but they shouldn't outright block it, because some people just don't want a ton of apps. They want it to magically just work.
Well, people also don't want to pay.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to get at here. It's like, and I kind of think that people should be willing to pay for news if they really like the New York Post. Like, I kind of like the New York Times that gives you, like, 10 free articles a month or something.
Well, they do paywalls like that, yeah, but...
I think that's the best form of paywall, because you get some people who don't necessarily read it all the time. They might just, like, read, like, one article a month or, something gets linked in.
They're not the ones that are going to cost you money.
Yeah.
But token, you have people who are doing the exact opposite, like the Financial Times, which is saying... Screw you to Apple. I'm not giving you 30% just for being the middleman. And they're just making their website a giant HTML5 app where you just access from your phone and it works just like an actual app.
Which is fine and dandy. There's no problem with that. But I think if the New York Post is going to block anyone using Mobile Safari, there should be like the buffer zone, like with the New York Times, like, because I might have my iPad and I got linked to this one article and I just want to read the one article. I don't want to go pay for full subscription because I'm not going to use it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're at a tipping point then for print media, because they're trying to do this to survive, and at the same point they've been giving stuff out for free for so many years online that pretty much going to have this. It's the same effect as of saying, you know what? If you want to access certain websites, you have to pay, no matter what websites they are. If you want to use Google, you got to pay per search or something like that.
Oh, God, that killed Google. Everyone jumped to Bing.
But it's the same sort of concept. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, if they're going to get people to pay for media in general, is everyone has to fucking do it.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen.
Because not everyone can afford to do it.
Well, that, and it's going to come down to only the big cheeses are in the business anymore. Because if you think of a site like ours, we can't start. If everyone on the internet has to charge for it, it'd be like a union. You can't be on the internet unless you're on the Internet News Union, and then you can't have startups. Because you got to jump in. You got to be able to set up the pay thing. You got to have a professional team to support you on the site. And that's not what the internet's about. The internet's like the Wild Wild West, except without Will Smith.
But all the Jackie Chan you want.
That is a good point. I mean, the internet is kind of like that, and you can't. That's why they had so much trouble forcing people to do things.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to continue with this ridiculous analogy, there's the big towns with the fancy saloons that a lot of people like to go to, but then most of the time they're off in the seedy corners and brothels and stuff, and they all have herpes.
Exactly. It is the Wild Wild West.
1 in 4 Americans has herpes, by the way.
That means one of us has herpes.
We all know who that is, and it ain't me.
Well. That's quite the question for thought there. Who could it be?
Okay, well, I guess the overall thing about the big media is that the winners are going to be sites like ours, or sites like Engadget or things like that that do give content for free and are there to sort of digest the news that the actual news reporters do and either dish it out in manageable quantities, like bite-sized quantities for people, or to give perspective on them.
But what's defined as winning?
Well, I think the better business
most subscribers model, or most profitable.
Well, I'm gonna go with profitable, and I think the better business model would be ad-based to an extent. Obviously, you can't smother everything in ads, because then it's one of those stupid syndicate web pages that you find when you Google stuff. But I think the fact if you pull in a solid reader base because you have good content, you don't need to charge them for it because you make enough money on your ad space.
But is an ad-based model really the way to go, and is it really that profitable?
Well, I don't know. There's, see, where a lot of the bloggers have, you know, nice toys and everything. I don't know what they have and if they live in like a shoebox. But I know, was it Elan that lives out in California? He's got a house. That ain't cheap.
Yeah, but he works for Gawker.
Yeah, and they're on an ad-based income.
Yeah, it's covered in fucking ads.
Yeah, there's a trade-off there. But as I was saying, you don't have to go all the way.
I think the blog system is a more long-lasting. Not necessarily the profitable, not necessarily the best, but it's the one that can stand the test of time.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most flexible. That's what helps it.
Definitely. I agree.
Speaking of standing the test of time, Steam is looking at possibly having competition in the digital download world. We've seen a very large decrease in the number of boxed games that are being sold over the years. People are shifting more and more to digital distribution online, and Steam has pretty much been the main player in this field. Pretty much any game you want, you could go to Steam and get. However, now EA, Electronic Arts, wants to push its Origin store, and it started off by pulling some recent titles from the Steam store, like Crysis and some other games and stuff like that, and putting them exclusively on their store. I guess some people were pretty pissed off about this.
I'm pissed off about that.
Okay. So you're pissed off that EA is taking stuff off the Steam store and putting it on their own store. Yeah. Why?
I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Like, I have everything set up that I need in the fucking Steam universe. And now I've got to go to another website to buy other games that aren't, I have to get a new client for.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen, though, is that EA is claiming they didn't actually pull the games. It was actually part, I think Steam pulled them because the contract with EA was you cannot list this in another electronic marketplace or something like that, and they pulled it on that principle, which isn't very smart on Steam's part if you think about it. But let me see if I can find that article.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but like, I don't want to have to, if I want to play fucking Crysis 2, I don't want to have to go to another store, give them, and I really just don't like EA to begin with. They've been kind of dicks to their consumers.
I'm glad you said that, because that's what I was going to say as soon as you were done. Fuck EA.
Yeah, yeah, they've been some real dicks. And I don't want to have to, and you know, there's a lot of their games that are cool, but they don't put them out for fucking PC.
I just dropped that link in the Ustream chat.
Okay, but isn't it time that Steam have some competition? I mean, they pretty much have a monopoly on all the digital distribution, except for, you know, MMOs, which, you know, they get the stuff from their sites. Everything else, though, it's through Steam. And if Steam wants to say, hey, you know what, we want to jack prices up by $5 for every game just because we want a bigger cut, you're pretty much forced to anyway.
Yeah, but Steam doesn't do that.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. If you, I don't have a problem with competition. Any other competition in the field, as long as it doesn't hurt the gamer. But the fact that you're now pulling those games from the Steam store, whoever's doing it, that's ruined with the gamer. The gamer having to choose between the two. I don't know. EA seems to be really good at shooting themselves in the foot, in my opinion. So. Meh. Like how I don't have an opinion on anything on this, I just kind of end it with meh.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I wanted to play Battlefield 3, but I don't think I'm going to do it if I have to go to EA Origins to even pre-order it.
Well, I mean, that's...
So I'm just not going to play it.
Yeah, like that might work. Like if they keep putting out really big games, really, you know, high-level games, there's going to be a point where you're just missing out.
And yeah, I'm okay with that on principle.
Yeah, if they start offering better deals, you know,
Yeah, that's the thing. They have to offer better deals, and I don't think that EA is willing to make better deals.
Well, we'll see.
With their whole micro purchase,
yeah,
ideology.
Well,
don't forget also that they're going to have to woo game developers, you know, everywhere from the, they already, you know, have a lot of the big ones, but the indie game developers, a lot of.
Yeah, but I think EA's only going to sell EA games.
I doubt it. That'd be stupid. I don't think they're that dumb.
EA does a lot that's stupid, like pulling all of their shit from Steam to make their own store.
You know what? I think the better way that EA could approach this is leave this stuff on Steam and just give a better deal if you buy it from Origin.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
I mean, then the player could choose, you know what, do I want to do Steam where I could get, you know,
that's where the real competition would come into play. Is who can give me the best deal. You can only buy it at EA Origins. Fuck that. Because then I'm getting butt fucked. And as a gamer, I don't like getting butt fucked.
I think as a straight man, that's sort of out of your realm. I wouldn't rule out all gamers. There's got to be, you know, some...
Consumer butt-fucking is not the same as that I enjoy it as a sexual pleasure. Consumer butt-fucking is always bad.
Yeah, but they take it. Because people are too lazy to actually vote with their wallet.
Well, I am not. And I'm calling people to make a stand.
Yeah, you're asking gamers to make a stand when they've got these really comfy chairs. I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, I'm a losing battle, but I'm going to fight the good fight.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I think that it shouldn't... It definitely, first and foremost, should not impact the gamer. It should be... it's going to impact... But minimally. It should be something like, oh, you can't get what you were planning on getting here. You have to install this whole other thing and download it through Origins. Are you going to be able to... Is Steam going to be able to open it? Like, you know, Steam can open other games for you. You can put it in your game list.
Well, when you put other games that aren't Steam games in your game list, that's basically no different than putting a shortcut on your desktop. It's just keeping all your games close.
Exactly. Are you going to be able to do that, though?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a shortcut to wherever the file is on your computer. It's not... Steam doesn't have any control over it. It's just... a shortcut so that, you know, you get your Steam window open. Okay, I want to play this game. Click. It's no different than having it on your desktop.
But there's been a lot of talk, too, about some of the things in the EA license agreement where, like, you can only have this game for, like, up to a year.
Oh, yeah.
Some weird legalese.
You only have a year to download it. And okay. That most games you don't
care about. Now, question, though, is can I play it on multiple machines? Because I know with Steam...
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I can install it on anything where I log in with my account.
Yeah, anywhere you have your Steam account, you've got your game.
But will that work with EA? Because that'd be a big turnoff for me if I can't fucking do that.
It's a turnoff for me just because it says EA.
I think one of you two should just try the damn thing.
Nope.
No, I'm not willing to make that leap.
I ain't trying it. I don't game.
You don't fucking game.
On my PC,
there's your first problem right there.
I've got Orange Box, and that's one reason why the 1 year download limit pisses me off. I mean, shit.
How long have you had Orange Box?
Longer than a year. I don't know when I bought it. I can tell you when it was last installed on this computer. That was probably about a year.
I don't know. EA, if they're going to make that successful, it has to have a lot of fucking deals.
It's got
to here's
Steam
another thing.
Plus some.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. I know when I built this computer, I had Orange Box for over a year. You know? I had my games for over a year. What happens when I build another computer and I need to download the game again? Am I still able to download the game?
Yeah, or are you just out of luck?
Yeah, or am I just boned? Like, sorry, your game disappeared with your old computer. Fuck you, dude. Hell no.
Because that'd be really shitty, too.
Yeah, that's going to cause a real shit fit the first time that happens.
And I can see EA being too bad, so sad. Give us some more money, and we'll let you have the game again.
For another year.
Yeah.
Seems like people just bounce back and forth between hating EA or hating Activision.
Well, it's because they hate them both. They just aren't reminded about it all the time.
It's a constant hatred, but you know, it just depends on which one happens to do something retarded in the news on that week.
All right. I think we've done enough EA bashing. Let's shift over to, let's backpedal to last week where we talked about the Nintendo Wii U. And it seems like the Wii U has competition already, and it's the Wii U is still not out yet. It's got a whole year. And this competition is coming from Apple with its iOS 5 and Apple TV, a game called Real Racing 2 HD. Pretty much allows you to combine your iPad, your Apple TV, and your television set to do pretty much what the Wii U promises, where you have your main game on your television screen, and then your handheld controller is sort of a supplementary, like an inventory or a map or this and that. That's exactly what this thing does. So,
wow.
There's a problem with that, though. At least with the Wii U, you have physical controls in your hand. It is damn near impossible to control something that you can't see or feel. I mean, I can understand when because I play games on the tablet and on my phone, and you can at least see the buttons. Even with seeing the buttons, there have been times when I've missed. You're going to need that tactile feedback if you're holding the controller in your hand and looking up at your TV. It's just not going to work otherwise, unless it's all motion controls, and then that's, there's only so much you can do with that. You still need button inputs.
Yeah, and then you're not going to have button inputs on your iPad if you're watching the TV, because, like you said, you can't see or feel it. And that's the other thing about the Wii U. It doesn't have like a go back to home button on the bottom of it, where when you're playing with your iPad and you actually like push it, it sends you back to the home screen, and you're like, suddenly you're staring at your apps instead of,
Oh yeah, and you can only play it if you have an Apple TV, so I don't know how strong a competition it is.
I think if they made a tilt controller with two large buttons on it, for some cheesy games for like the iPhone and iPod Touch.
What, today you have to buy another peripheral?
Can't you? Don't they have those little like skins that you could just wrap your iPhone or iPod around and it gives you like physical buttons?
I've seen those.
Oh, yeah. How much would that cost?
Probably like 10, 20 bucks.
It's just like a button overlay, but it has a feel.
You're putting a GIMP case on your iPhone. And we've been
everyone does that already.
Yeah, we know where GIMP cases and iPhones go.
Oh, what a throwback reference.
Yeah, I know. That's two tonight. Feeling nostalgic.
Okay, so pretty much you're saying the general consensus is that this is not going to give the Wii U a run for its money.
Oh, hell no.
Not a chance. Now, the Wii U is probably going to be popular simply because it's a Nintendo product and everybody's making fun of it now, but then they're going to be like, oh my god, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And but at least it has buttons. It's got, that's the big thing. It has buttons. If you're expecting people to push buttons, you have to have actual buttons.
Yeah, but I still don't like the layout of the new Wii U controller.
Well, I mean, I hated dual stick controller the first time I tried it. You get used to stuff like that.
Well, you don't have to use the screen controller. You can use your standard Wii controllers or the Wii Classic or whatever.
Yeah, that's fine. I just don't like having the sticks above the buttons. Giant meat hooks for hands, and it's just... Yep. Gonna be all kinds of trouble.
You're gonna mash the buttons when you're trying to.
All the fucking time.
Yeah.
That's my big problem with that. It's cool, I guess, you know, to be like, look at me, I have the shield and I can wave it and woo, yeah, but what about if I just wanna play a fucking game? Like, if I want, like, they're doing with that Real Racing, if there's a racing game on the Wii and I'm wanting to use my controller sticks, I'm gonna be hitting that A button all the fucking time.
Button.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever.
All right, shifting gears back to the internet. A few months back, we had written an article on the Noisecast about how Amazon pulled its affiliates from Illinois because Illinois imposed a sales tax on all online sales, which we now have to declare on their tax on our tax forms. So any online purchase we do has to be declared. Turns out there are other states that are doing this, and now more are jumping on the list. Connecticut and Arkansas.
I didn't even know this was a fucking law, to be totally honest.
It's because no one in Arkansas really cares for the law.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
It's still the Wild West here, to be honest.
Yeah. Lots of whiskey and cattle.
But, yeah, Amazon's doing the same thing. It's discontinuing its affiliation with websites and retailers in Connecticut and Arkansas because those states are trying to collect sales taxes from online retailers. When we wrote the Illinois article, there was 5 states. I believe this now bumps it up to 7 states that are doing this. Question is, this is sort of going to happen everywhere, isn't it? I mean, Amazon can run, but it can't hide.
Yeah, eventually it's what they're...
It's going to have to figure something out.
There may be one state like Nevada that doesn't really care for anyone else's rules, and they just continue to allow stuff like this. And then everyone who wants to be an Amazon affiliate has to move to Nevada, and that's a lot of really angry affiliates, I guess.
I mean, eventually they're going to have to come up with some kind of a conclusion, because I can see more states doing this, because they'll be like, oh, we can get this tax money that we so desperately need because we don't have any real money. And that's what they're trying to do with these laws.
Yeah, it seems to be working out real well for them.
Yeah, well, we're going to earn tax money. Wait, all the people we were going to tax just left.
Well, it's theoretical money. It's not real money yet. And governments get wowed by theoretical money.
It's the internet money.
Yeah, kind of like IPOs.
Yeah, everyone gets wowed by, oh man, this money, if we could have this money, it would be fan-fucking-tastic. But then when they do it, after they do it, they're like, ah, well, it might not make any money. Well, it's a law now, so Amazon maybe just, down the road we'll make some money.
They should just switch over to Bitcoin.
Yeah, and get all their money stolen.
That's a great plan. Bitcoin, it's, you know, no inflation. You don't have to.
Didn't
worry
the
about
price for that stuff like crash?
It crashes every day.
Yeah, it goes all over the place.
I mean, if Amazon switched to Bitcoin and then stayed in the states that, you know, required them to, I mean, the U.S. government doesn't recognize Bitcoin as currency, so Amazon could pretty much just put a troll face on, saying, "Well, we'll stay. We just don't owe you anything."
Yeah, but the most of their user base is not going to switch to Bitcoin, and they would lose way more money than
the whole Bitcoin idea is just comical in my mind.
Yeah. You have a digital wallet that you have to keep safe and stuff. Yeah, I don't really get it.
Well, it's like those people who play those video games like Project Entropy and stuff. You read about articles how they spent like 100,000 real American dollars to buy some piece of virtual property. Like an
like
island.
In Second Life.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And the Second Life craze, do you guys remember the Second Life craze, how big it was? Like Coke and Pepsi and all these McDonald's.
Man.
They were all like spending huge money just to buy like a billboard that, you know, was just a bunch of pixels on the screen.
And people buy like houses and shit, and I was like, what the fuck, man? I don't get spending real money on things like that.
Nope. You see, I tried playing Second Life a while back. It was a few years ago. I tried playing, and that shit is fucking boring.
It is, and I agree with you. I did the same thing.
Like, my real life is boring, and this is just as boring.
Really? When the most
Where's all the sex and drugs I can do on the internet that are okay?
Actually, they were there, too, because you could travel to different places, and I went to this, I'm like, okay, there's like a nightclub, it's like club something, whatever it was called, so I teleported myself there, and I'm in the middle of the gigantic pixel sex orgy I've ever seen.
Like, I went to the wrong places.
people actually have molded, like, you know, pixelated penises and boobs and stuff and attached them to their avatars and are just going around and they've scripted, like, sex moves and this.
Oh,
and that.
Man, that's rad.
They had an actual DJ that was, like, streaming music from his computer and stuff like that.
That is ridiculous.
I think that's kind of the point of the whole conversation, Vito.
I mean, spending money on like, in-game things like that, like, even with fucking, like, Farmville and shit, like, don't blow money on that. Is it really that fun?
Yeah, that's another reason I'm hiding my credit cards from my kids. The first time I see Facebook.com or something like that on a credit card statement, there's going to be a beating.
Could you imagine how much more money Zynga would make if it allowed you to be the shepherd or something, or the Farmville, and, you know, have your way with the animals?
That's illegal in Florida. I just hope you know.
I think that's a Greek cultural thing.
I'm not saying that we would do it, but I'm saying there's a huge market out there of perverted people that probably would pay crazy money for that.
No,
have digital sex with digital animals. I think that's called porno, sir.
Oh, the internet. I'm pretty sure that happens in Second Life. I just didn't find the right club for that.
Somewhere there's a sheep fucking club.
It's in the Arkansas branch.
It probably is.
Second Life.
Not that many sheep, they'll probably have to be hogged.
I think Arkansas is like the upper left boundary for that, and it extends, you know, southeast. That,
Mississippi.
Yeah, no, it definitely creeps down into Alabama. There's no doubt about that.
You got Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana, parts of Florida. It's all fun and games with sheep.
What was that WTF article a few weeks back with a guy who locked himself in the bathroom with a goat?
With the bath salts.
Yeah, with the bath salts.
Yeah, what a weird motherfucker.
Did he kill the goat? I think
Yeah.
He killed it and sexed it up and been high on bath salts for days.
Wearing women's underwear.
And that's that is exactly why Alabama banned the sale and use of bath salts. I'm not sure.
I don't even know what they are, and they're banned, and I was like, okay.
I just thought it was a salt that you put in the bath, but apparently there's much more to it.
Yeah, apparently they aren't for baths.
And apparently I used it wrong.
All right, last tech story of the night. RIM, Research in Motion. They got hit really hard this week. They got their new financials in for first quarter, and everything is just nosediving. Their revenues are down a lot. Their sales are down by $1 billion. The only place, let's put it this way, the only place they're doing good at is foreign markets. In like India, China, you know, emerging markets like that are the only places they're doing well in. Everything else is just tanking.
That's because those emerging markets don't have fancy things like iPads and, you know, giant Android phones and shit like that.
Well, it's also because emerging markets, BlackBerries are saving them money with BBM. They don't have to pay for a text messaging plan. They'll just BBM. Okay.
They really need to do something.
There's an editorial coming up about this, but let's just say it anyway. What the hell does RIM have to do? How do we fix RIM?
Put it on a rocket, launch it into space. I don't think they can be fixed. I just think they need to scale themselves down until they're completely useless and then just disappear.
Well, we've already said exactly what they need to do to fix their shit. Quite simply, they need to pick a fucking market and go after it. They are so all over the place right now. They have no idea who they're marketing to. They're trying to get business people, and they're trying to get just regular consumers, and they're not marketing to either one of them effectively because they don't know what the fuck they're trying to do. They need to pick a market and stick with it.
Yeah, and, you know, they're trying to push the new iOS. Well, not iOS, but BlackBerry OS 7, I think it is. And, you know, if they can get a handle on that, because they've shut out everyone who has a phone now can't use OS 7.
Yeah.
So they've got to fucking grab that OS 7 and just hump it until it births into something awesome that everyone wants. Until then, they're going to be in a big shithole.
I'm
not going on a date with you ever.
Well, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm talking about Rim here, not the date. I think what Vito was saying, they definitely need to stick to one market. They started liking the fact that they were getting the consumer market because people were like, oh, smartphones, I can do this stuff, but my business won't pay for it, but this will work, and it's more usable than Windows Mobile. And then you know, iOS came along, or you know, the iPhone came along, and
Android, they've just been kind of like slugging along. Like, where's the innovation?
Well, the thing is that BlackBerry and RIM, they never were for consumers. They were always geared toward enterprise and business solutions. It just so happened that consumers discovered BlackBerry Messenger, and they're like, oh shit, we can, you know, do this instead
can
of
texting. Can anyone else hear him?
I can hear him.
Yeah,
he's breaking up a little bit, but it's no more than he was before. But yes, we understand that. But when they started picking up those regular run-of-the-mill consumers, your average everyday,
they didn't do anything for them.
Well, they're trying to do that now, but they don't know how, because they never intended to be that the normal consumer's business. They were always gearing themselves for the business class. But you saw, you know, a while back, they were trying to get people. What's that guy's name? John Krasinski from The Office. They got him to do their commercial with the big fucking touch screen where you click the screen. Who wants that? Who wants the whole fucking screen?
I remember that.
And you push the button. That is stupid. One of the guys at work had one of those things, and it felt like it was already broken. I was like, man, what? This is horrible. Is it supposed to wiggle like this?
Because they really need to get the creative people in and just start really thinking and find a way to push their product into something cool. Because right now, everything's about what's cool, and they're not cool.
No, they're not. They tried to be cool with the BBM commercials.
Well, like, trying is not doing.
Yeah, and you can't really just be cool. You have to make something useful and hope other people see it as cool. Contrary to what Hollywood would have you believe, cool isn't just, you know, something you make.
Unless you're Apple.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. But RIM is not Apple.
Not by a long shot.
No. Yeah, they are the anti-Apple, if anything. I think that they do have apps, and they do advertise their apps. And they do advertise how their apps work. Like, they're linked together, which is really cool. And these are good ideas. They're just not really implemented that well. And they insist on their own keyboard.
Yeah.
Door een technische storing is dit nummer nu niet bereikbaar.
Aside from those technical difficulties, we're back, and we're going straight into WTF news. These news aren't
really bad. Yay! Okay. Did I tell you guys that my brother was listening to the WTF news? And
yeah, and he walked around.
Yeah, I told you
that. Last week. Dick face.
You shut up! I have a terrible memory. Go ahead. That's your cue to keep talking.
So, would you ever eat shit is the question that Japanese scientist poses to you. Would you ever eat shit that was in meat form? Japanese scientist poses question to you.
No.
Turns out, Japanese scientist has found a way to extract proteins and stuff out of feces and turn it into synthetic meat.
It's still shit. So, No, I'm not going to eat it.
Poop is poop.
you can dress it up in a bow tie. It's still shit.
The meat is 63% proteins, 25% carbohydrates, 3% lipids, and 9% minerals.
And 100%
the researchers color the poop meat red with food coloring to enhance the flavor with soy protein.
So like bottom gristle lumps.
Okay. There have been people that tested it.
some of them, they don't need to paint red.
Yeah, what happens when you cook it? If you paint it red, does it stay red?
Why would you want to cook it?
Shit.
It's already been cooked and eaten.
I want to know how they got people to test out this meat. Because it says, initial tests have people saying it tastes like beef.
Surely they didn't tell them it was shit beforehand.
I mean, that would be very unethical for a person.
But I mean, if I went into a test and they're like, you're going to be eating shit today, it's supposed to taste like meat. That's I'm going to be like, it's no shit.
I will talk to you all later.
Sorry, I'm removing myself from this study.
Call me back when you don't want me eating some back bottom gristle lumps.
Unfortunately, right now, the excrement steaks are 10 to 20 times the price they should be, thanks to the cost of research. So, I guess they're still a little bit expensive.
You want to pay more to eat some shit? Like, look, the only way that even remotely possible being successful is if it's cheap as shit.
Hey, what if you give them your own poop? Do you get a discount?
If you donate?
If you donate poo, because I have a son who's still in diapers, so...
You just collect all that shit?
He produces quite a lot of poo that doesn't get flushed. So, you know, I could
Can you imagine if that got on? There's just a bunch of, like, crap repositories just around town.
Oh, God.
Professor Ikeda, understands the psychological barriers that need to be surmounted.
Obviously not, otherwise he wouldn't have attempted this.
They hope that once research is complete, people will be able to overlook the ugly detail in favor of perks like environmental responsibility,
cost,
and the fact that the meat will have fewer calories.
Yeah, because they've already been processed. Because it's poo.
Last I saw, Mother Earth did not tell me that it wanted me to eat my own shit.
I thought that would kill you, too. Like, I think you're not allowed to eat your own... You can drink your own piss, but you can't eat your own shit.
We need to get Bear Grylls on the show and ask him.
Speaking of drinking your own piss...
with the assist there.
A man was caught urinating in a freshwater reservoir in Mount Tabor, Oregon. So... Video surveillance show this guy urinating in the freshwater supply. So the city had to shut down the reservoir. They had to shut down everything in order to investigate. And notice these are open air reservoirs. They just sit out there in the open. Now,
okay. Oh man, I already know where I'm going with this. But go ahead, finish your intro.
All right, so. I guess there isn't really much of a what WTF of some asshole just peeing in the water supply. I mean, it happens all the time. But I guess the Water Bureau admits that they regularly find dead animals in the same drinking supply. But they don't dump the water. Was this your thing, Vito?
Oh no, that was part of it.
Okay.
I've got more.
Okay, so they say that they find animals regularly in the water supply, but they don't dump the water. But they say, this is different. Do you want to drink pee?
I'd rather drink pee than a dead animal.
Well, you drink the animal pee.
Yeah, well, also that. But
what about birds flying over and shitting?
Yes. Now, birds, a lot of people don't know this. Birds shit and piss from the same hole. So when you see bird shit, that little clump of dark in the middle, that's the poo. The white stuff on the outside, that's the urine. So when a bird shits, it's also peeing. How many times do you think birds have shat and pissed in this open air reservoir? You're still drinking piss. It's just...
Does it not get processed after it's in this reservoir?
Not to mention all the animals pissing. It's groundwater.
Well, so, the administrator, David Schaff of the Water Bureau, his justification of shutting down the whole reservoir and decontaminating it for a guy peeing in it and not shutting it down and decontaminating when a dead animal is in it was more people are going to be pretty damn squeamish about that, referring to the pee instead of the dead animal.
Wow. You motherfuckers are drinking pee anyway. You just didn't catch anybody on camera peeing in it. When it rains, it runs down and it collects all the squirrel piss in the trees and all the deer piss on the ground, and it runs along the ground and it spills over into the reservoir, and then you drink it. You just happen to catch this guy on camera relieving himself in what seemed to be a giant toilet to him.
Also, apparently this David Schaff guy does not know how to do math. At all.
Go on.
Do tell.
He originally said that the cost of the beer would be about $600,000 in lost revenue, but later clarified his math was very wrong and that the water would have sold for a retail price of about $28,500. And disposal fees are expected to be about $7,600. Not even close. Yeah, that cost about $600,000. Sir, it's really only about 28.5.
Well, the guy who was arrested and charged with the crime, he's 21 years old, and he said he later admitted that it was a stupid thing to do. And when he told he urinated in Portland's drinking water, and his actions were disrespectful, he reportedly said, "I didn't mean to show disrespect. I thought it was a sewage treatment plant."
I mean, that's a reasonable assumption to make, but what are you doing walking around at the treatment plant?
If it's anything like the ones back home, they're just kind of out there.
Seriously. Yeah, but they're not generally surrounded by a whole bunch of shit. They're just there.
They usually smell bad. Have you ever been to a treatment plant?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Sewage treatment plants fucking stink.
We used to have to run around one. It was tons of fun.
I remember, like, the poo being, like, processed and stuff. It's, like, splattering a little bit over the edge, and, yeah.
You hang a lot at sewage treatment plants?
We had to go for a field trip.
Oh, okay.
And we had to watch this all, because Chicago is, I think, the biggest water reclamation plant in the world. So pretty much all our poo and pee is eventually recycled, and we drink it again as tap water.
So every time you pee, you're peeing in the water supply.
Pretty much.
Yeah, like, the water's all recycled.
They're not trying to take this guy to court, are they? Because I would relish that day in court, especially after the guy admits that they regularly find dead animals in it. Fuck you, dude. You're going to lose that one. You don't even have to have
the most they could probably get him with, I would assume, is urinating in public, which is obviously against the law.
Yeah, but that's a misdemeanor.
All right, on the topic of sanitation, we're shifting over to Australia, Melbourne, Australia, to be precise, where doctors at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne were stunned when they discovered that a man who was in there for alcoholism treatment had downed 6 bottles of hand sanitizer, giving him a blood alcohol reading of 0.271%.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Awesome these days.
The 45-year-old man had been undergoing treatment for alcohol-related gastritis when he drank the 375-milliliter bottles of sanitizer, which have an ethanol content of 66%. Now, their issue is not with the fact that he drank sanitizer. The hospital's big issue now is what to do with all these bottles of hand sanitizer that are now accessible by the patients. They're trying to figure out a way how to keep them out of the reach of patients.
I don't think that should be a problem. I mean, this guy, how much do you want to be drunk? Because hand sanitizer is not tasty.
No, that shit stinks.
Well,
I mean, if you're going to talk about let's restrict that, you might as well restrict rubbing alcohol. You know, shit like that. Just as bad.
This isn't the first time it's happened. Experience at our institution over the past 6 months suggests that consumption of alcohol-based hand sanitizers by inpatients may be an increasing problem. We are aware of a further 3 patients who have consumed these products while at our institution.
So go back to soap and water.
Yeah.
They have a problem of keeping people from not drinking the hand sanitizer.
What kind of place is this?
Australia.
That's well, I get it, Australia, but I didn't think they were that dumb.
Australians would be a... I mean, if they, you know...
Oh, that was...
They drive car trucks.
That was Baby Kevlar's first cameo on the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. She's throwing hissy fit.
It's okay. She's our guest podcaster.
Yeah.
Well, kids, don't drink hand sanitizer. Moral of the story. Or don't go to the hospital in Australia.
Because apparently that's all the rage to do down there.
What we want to achieve is to bolt a container to the wall so it can only be refilled and be removed from the wall. So what's stopping the guy from just getting on his hands and knees and tugging from there?
Just tugging away.
That reminds me a lot of like one of those hamster water bottles. Yes. Little ball in the end.
Yes.
Sir, if you're going to drink the hand sanitizer, you have to wear the furry suit.
Okay, brief WTF news story. Not much content about this one, but we just want to inform all our users who may be visiting or are living in Minnesota. There is a Minnesota state statute 609.34 fornication that reads, when a man and single woman have sexual intercourse with each other, each is guilty of fornication, which is a misdemeanor.
What?
So, if you're single in Minnesota and you have sex with another single person, you are guilty of a misdemeanor. Just letting you know.
It's funny because fornication is sex, and if you have sex, you're guilty of having sex.
But it's a misdemeanor. It's against the law.
Well,
sucks for you, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Wait, what does it say about a single person having sex with a married person?
I think that's like burned to the stake or something like
that. That is not against the law. Ruining a marriage is okay.
And last on our WTF news is another legal issue story. We're taking you all the way to Israel, where a Jerusalem rabbinical court has condemned to death by stoning a dog that is suspects is the reincarnation of a secular lawyer who insulted the court's judges 20 years ago.
What the fuck?
Look, I've seen this a few times, and I've said the same thing every time. I'm going to say it again here. This is just another case of a foreign culture doing shit their way. Do I agree with it? No. I don't agree that their wacky, in my eyes, their wacky views should mean that the dog should die. But it's not for us to say that it's fucked up. That's the way they do things. Obviously, it's fucked up in America, but it can't be that awkward in Jerusalem if they fucking did it and if they had an entire court agree with it, you know? Yes, it's fucked up for us, but it's not fucked up for them. Fucking let them do it. They're crazy people.
That's fine if they want to fucking do it, I guess, but...
Thank you, Kevin.
How do you come up with... This is totally this guy. This dog is totally this guy that made us look like assholes 20 years ago. There's no doubt.
Well, they say the large dog made its way into the Monetary Affairs Court and blah, 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 and it started frightening judges and plaintiffs.
So a stray dog came in and started barking to people?
Despite
strange behavior for a dog.
Well, they tried to chase it out of court, and the hound refused to leave the premises.
You know, those are kind of like signs of rabies, aren't they? Unusual aggression, kind of dumb.
Well, turns out that one of the judges recalled a curse that the court had passed down upon a secular lawyer who had insulted the judges two decades previously. So the curse was pretty much to the lawyer's spirit to move into the body of the dog. So that's how they figured out
it. I mean, that's the what the fuck thing for me is not that some dog comes in and starts running amok, but that they believe that it's apparently it's this lawyer. Come back 20 years later. Like, I'm waiting for the follow-up story where the lawyer comes back and is like, I'm not really dead, guys. I just didn't want to hang out with Thor anymore.
I went to Maui. It was pretty cool.
Well, if you're worried about the dog, don't worry. The canine target, however, managed to escape.
Maybe it was a shapeshifter.
He turned back into the lawyer. It won't get me now.
Well, that about wraps it up for tonight. That was WTF News and the podcast. So, thank you everybody for listening, especially through our brief technical difficulties earlier. Feel free to write to us, comment us, tweet at us, twitter.com/noisecast and thenoisecast.com. On tonight's episode, we did have Gonzo Ryder.
Thanks for hanging out.
Veto number 9.
Hooray, fathers.
And, of course, Kevlar Bennis.
Screaming babies.
Yay. Don't forget baby Kevlar.
No, yeah, she's actually quiet for a second.
And baby Kevlar Chloe, who made her first cameo. Aw, be sure to tell mom about that.
I will.
She's internet famous now.
Yep. You can follow her at twitter.com/... No, I'm just kidding.
Until next time, tune in same time, same place next week for the Noisecast.